I want to turn in God's Word to Isaiah and the chapter 12. I want to speak tonight from verse 2, where the prophet says, "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Behold, God is my salvation." So let's look to the Lord, and we pray that God will bless us here tonight around His Word. Father in heaven, we thank You for our hymn singing, and be able to sing these great old gospel hymns of Christ our Savior. And now, Lord, as we would turn to Thy Word, we acknowledge our weakness. We acknowledge we need Thee. And I pray, Lord, Thou wilt pour out Your Spirit upon us. And Thou be with us tonight in the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus. We praise that the gospel, it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone which believeth. And I ask You tonight for any who's not saved, that they will believe that Jesus saves and His blood will wash them whiter than the snow. I ask You now to be with us. Give us help and liberty tonight in the proclamation of Thy Word, I pray in Jesus' great name. Amen. Amen. Dr. Harry Ironside one time was preaching in a certain place. And as he was preaching, he noticed there was a man in the congregation and he was writing something down. And he watched this man writing down this message, and the man came up and gave it to someone to pass up to Dr. Ironside. So Dr. Ironside, in the middle of the meeting, he read it. This message had come from a man called Arthur Lewis, agnostic Lecheter. And he was a man who had challenged the speaker to debate on the subject, agnosticism versus Christianity. Dr. Ironside read out what this man had said to them. And Dr. Ironside looked down on the congregation and at this man. He says, "I will accept the challenge on these conditions. I want you to bring one man to the platform who has been changed by your views. A man who has been lost in his sin and wicked and rebellious, but he has been transformed by hearing your message. You bring him to a platform, just one man. And then I want you to bring one lady. One lady who has been lost to all purity and goodness, but who can testify that your message changed her life. It lifted her. She heard you proclaim, and she was changed. And I promise you, I will bring 100 men and women who has been changed by the power of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they found new life in Him, and they found new joy in Jesus Christ. Will you accept my terms of the contest, the debate?" And it was recorded that that man, when he heard such words, he turned and walked away. He couldn't do it. You see, you cannot disprove the wondrous salvation that God gives to us. In His mercy, He bestows it upon us. Salvation is a miracle of grace in the sinner's life. God comes in all His power and all His mercy, and He saves us. He changes us. There's no argument against it. In this meeting tonight, and you're unsaved, and you're doubting in your heart, is the Bible true? Is God true? You maybe are arguing against it. Dear friends, do you know somebody who's been changed by the gospel? Maybe it is your mother. Maybe it is your father. Maybe it is your brother or your sister. Surely you know somebody who's been changed by the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. There are many people tonight and stand in this meeting and can tell and can testify of the wonderful change that Jesus Christ has made in our hearts and lives. Here in this passage of the Word of God, Isaiah says, behold. Now, when you see the word behold in the Bible, it's really like a stop sign. God has said, stop. Just stop where you are. Just stop what you're doing. And look. Look at this. And this is what the prophet here, Isaiah, is doing in this particular text. He is saying, behold, just stop a moment. I want you to look at what I'm going to say, what I'm going to show you. And you can see what he's showing us. Great lessons about God's wonderful salvation. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. And he's calling upon the nation of Israel to stop to look at this great truth. Behold, God is my salvation. Now, if you're not saved in this meeting tonight, I want you to stop where you are tonight in your life, just for a short moment. The meeting will be over, perhaps half an hour. I want you to stop and look tonight at God's salvation. I want you to do it. Maybe you say, no, well, I never think of these things. Maybe you say, well, I've been dragged to this meeting tonight and I don't really want to be in this meeting. But God has made no mistake tonight. You're in the service to hear the word of God and to behold, just to look at this. I want you to look at God's wonderful, great salvation. First of all, I want us to think about the basis of his salvation. What was the basis of his salvation? What foundation stone was he resting upon, listen, for all eternity? To whom was he depending upon for the salvation of his soul? Well, he is very clear here in this text. He tells us, behold, God. God is my salvation. He couldn't get any clearer than that. He couldn't write it down any simpler for us. He's telling us here tonight the foundation stone he's standing on, where he's resting or what he's hoping in for salvation. He says, God, God is my salvation. As you'll see in a moment, it's not the God of his imagination. A lot of people has a God. It's a God of their own imagination. That's not the God of salvation. The God that he was resting upon for salvation is the God of the Bible. And he tells us here that this God is his salvation. So who was this God? We want to find this tonight. And when you read the writings here of this great prophet, he brings out certain lessons about the one he was resting on. I want you to listen tonight. I want you to look at these lessons because he says, behold, look at this. Look at this tonight. God, this God's my salvation. And I want to know which God it is because we need his salvation. He tells us in Isaiah 61, verse 1, who is God? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. God is a spirit. That's learned in our catechism. Who is God? God is spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. He is telling us who his God is. He is the Holy Spirit. He's everywhere. He is not saying to us that this God and my salvation, is an idol. It is not one that is made by my hands. It is not a God of silver. It's not a God of brass. It's not a God of gold. But my God is spirit. And that's who God is. God is a spirit. The Bible tells us that. That's why we can't see him. He's invisible. But this is the teaching of the Word of the living God. This was his God. This is the God he's depending upon. Not a God of his imagination. Not a God that was made with his hands. No, no, friends. This was God. He's depending on him. He tells us different other lessons about the God he was trusting in as well, that he was is eternal. In Isaiah 40, verse 28, has thy not known, has thy not heard, that the everlasting God, notice the title he puts on him. He says, this God, he's everlasting. My God, the God of my salvation, he's eternal. Everybody ever asked the question to you, where did God come from? That's a very simple question to be asked, isn't it? You know, see, friends, God is no beginning. He's always been there. He's everlasting. He's the everlasting God, you see. This was the God that Isaiah was building his hope in for salvation. A God who is spirit and a God who's everlasting. He's everlasting God. He tells us something else about him. He's the creator of the world. You find that in his writings. We think of Isaiah 40, verse 28, as we said that verse. Has I not known, has I not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, notice the words, the creator of the ends of the earth. Now listen what he's telling us. He's telling us tonight about the God of his salvation. And he says he's a God who created here the ends of the earth. He created everything. Made everything. I stop and wonder at the power of God in creation. The earth and everything upon it, the stars, the sun, the moon, or the Lord God of heaven, he made it all by his mighty, mighty power. He made the heavens. This is the God of my salvation. He didn't believe in evolution. That's another series, isn't it? He didn't believe in the lie of evolution. I tell you, he says, the God of my salvation. He made the heavens and the earth. This is my God. So when I come to the Bible, that is God. He is the one who has made us. He is the one who has made the world and everything in the world and above the world. He is the creator. This is the one. This is the one he's depending upon. Remember, Jesus Christ made the world. He was in the world, and the world was what? Made by him. He's God. He's trusting the God that's mighty. Isaiah 10, verse 28, the remnant shall return even unto the Jacob, even the remnant of Jacob, unto the mighty God. A mighty God. This God that saved them was mighty. This was the God he was depending upon. He needed, I want to say to you, a God that was mighty to save his soul. He needed a mighty God to take away his sin. And so I tell you here tonight, he says, the God, the Lord, he's the mighty God. He's the one I'm trusting. I want to see a person tonight in your sin. You need somebody who's mighty to save you. You need somebody to mighty. You can't do it. I can't do it. Your church can't do it. You need one who's mighty. God is mighty. Christ is mighty. This is the one he's depending upon. And you can go down through his writings and you will find he says that he's holy in Isaiah 6 verse 3. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. He was trusting a God who was holy. A God who had nothing to do with sin. A God who hates iniquity. This was the one he's trusting in. This is the one he's depending upon. This is the one you need to save you. This is the one you need to be the basis for your salvation. God. He's merciful God as well. He tells us in his writings. Isaiah 55, verse 7, let the wicked forsake his way, and the righteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Here he is proclaiming this message of forgiveness. God, if you turn to him, if you come to him, you'll get mercy. He'll take away all your sin. He'll forgive your sin. This is the God that I'm dependent upon, the God of mercy. God, tonight we can preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and say to people, God is merciful. Oh, see, think of all your sin tonight. You couldn't number them. God will forgive you for every sin. He's a merciful God. This is the one that Isaiah was trusting. The one who sent his son into the world also to be our Savior. You think of Isaiah 53 and verse 6, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. And then he says, oh, we like sheep, we have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Who's the him? It's Jesus Christ. I want to tell you tonight, Isaiah is telling us how he was saved. He's trusting this God, the God who sent his Son into the world to be our Savior. And dear friends, he's trusting Christ. He died for my sin. He shed his blood. He's going to come and die for me. I'm depending on the blood. This is my basis for salvation. It's God. It's God. And Christ only. I want to say to you tonight, that is the teaching of the Bible. Behold, God is my salvation. Tell me, friends, what word do you put in there? Do you say, behold, look, my parents is my salvation? You're dependent upon them. Do you put in there tonight, behold, my works is my salvation? Do you put in tonight, behold, the church, whatever church, this church or any other church, is my salvation? Or do you put in, God is my salvation? The God who's eternal, he's powerful, he's merciful. The God who loves us, the God who sent his Son into the world, is the basis of my salvation. And that is true, of course. Because you'll never find salvation outside of Jesus Christ. You'll never find it. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 11, and this is the record that God has given to us eternal life. And I want you to listen to these words. And this life is in his Son. Think of those words. Salvation, eternal life, where is it? It's in his Son. And remember, of course, Jesus Christ is God. Isaiah was like the wise man that built his house upon the rock. He was not standing upon his services. He was not standing upon himself. He was a prophet. He was not standing upon the saints. I belong to Abraham's seed. No, friends. He says, I'm depending upon God, Jesus Christ, who is going to come into this world and bleed and die upon the cross. He's my salvation. He's my salvation. He is my hope. He is my all. I'm resting on him. Think of that song that says, in Christ alone my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fierce drought and storm. What height of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ, listen, I stand. Do you see where he's standing? On Christ, the solid rock. Nowhere else. And he's telling us, look at this. He wants other people to look. He wants the people of Israel to look where he is, to whom he's standing upon. He's standing upon Christ. And I say to you tonight from this pulpit, Christ alone. You need him. He is our salvation. He died to take away our sin. He died to give us eternal life. He died and rose again from the dead to take us to heaven. He is my salvation. And you need him. You need Christ to be your Savior. You're lost without him. Maybe you know that tonight in your heart, that you're not right with God, and you know if you died where you are or how you are, you'll be lost for all eternity. Lost in hell for all eternity. You need salvation. You need Christ. to be your Savior. So the basis of salvation, he says, behold, look at this. God is my salvation. The God of the Bible. Maybe some tonight has a God of their imagination. No, friends. The God of the Bible is the one who saves. Jesus Christ. Then I want to speak about the belief for salvation. Because if he said God is my salvation, well, how did he get it? How did he get this salvation? Well, there's only one way of getting this salvation. He says, I will trust. I will trust. He's telling us here the belief of his salvation. I will trust. I'm going to trust him. I'm going to trust this great God. I'm going to trust Jesus Christ to be my Savior. And he's going to trust Christ confidently. You can hear that in his words. I will trust. You hear the very tone of his voice. You know, there's no room for doubt here at all. He's very, very confident here that I will trust the Lord and he will save me. If I trust him, he will save me. He's very confident about this. I don't see any doubt here at all in his words. He's going to trust Christ confidently. David said the same words, by the way, in Psalm 18, verse 2. The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust. I'm going to trust him. And he was very confident here that faith in the Lord Jesus Christ would save him. After all, he was the one who said in Isaiah 45, verse 22, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and beside me there's none else. Did God give that message? He told the prophet to proclaim it unto the people. God is saying, look unto me and be ye saved. He is saying to the people, trust me and I'll save you. Dear friends, he says, I will trust. I'm going to trust him. I'm going to depend upon the blood to cleanse me from my sin. I'm going to depend upon Christ to be my Savior. I'm going to do it confidently. Never be afraid to trust the Lord Jesus to be your Savior. Never be afraid. Who are you going to trust? Who would you trust? Anybody better than Christ? Would you trust yourself? Not a bit of it. Would you trust me? No. I will trust Christ. Confidently. You can trust him. In Hebrews 7, verse 25, it says, wherefore, he's able also to save them to the uttermost. And notice the words, he's able to save to the uttermost. He can save you. Are you down in the very depths of sin tonight? Christ can save you. He can cleanse you. Are you confident of this? You must believe he can do it. I'm going to trust Christ confidently. You need to trust him. He is going to trust Christ completely. We sing a little hymn sometimes, trust nothing in my hands I bring, but simply to the cross I cling. Go and trust him completely. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust, you see him, completely. That's it. And the Bible says in Proverbs 3 and verse 5, trust in the Lord, listen, with all thine heart, completely. Not half of your heart, some of your heart. But listen, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. I say to you tonight, our only hope of salvation is the Lord Jesus Christ. You must trust him completely. Do you want everlasting life? Do you want forgiveness of your sins? Do you want God's wonderful, full, and free salvation? I will trust him. I will trust him completely. He's going to trust Christ personally as well. You notice that what he says. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust. I'm going to do this. He's speaking about himself. He's speaking about his own soul, my friends. He's speaking about his own salvation. He's not looking behind him to see what they're going to do. He's looking at God. He's looking at his sin. He's looking at his soul. And he says, I will trust. I'm going to trust him. I will trust him personally. See, salvation is a personal thing. It's between him and God. You know, I meet people sometimes, my door-to-door evangelism, and I ask them about being saved, and they look at me and say, well, that's a personal thing. Well, so it is. It is a personal thing. But I think if you have salvation, you know to tell somebody, yes, you're right, I'm saved, I'm washed in the blood of the Lamb, and behold, God is my salvation. We want to say those things. But they don't want to do any talking about it in any shape or form. But I'm going to trust him. And the Bible does tell us, of course, and you think of John chapter 6 and verse 47, verily, verily, Christ says, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Not tremendous. He that believeth. I will trust. I will trust. It's personal. I say to any young people here tonight, if you've got a godly mom and dad, well, praise the Lord for that. But don't be trusting your dad and mom's faith to get you to heaven, because it will not save you. Or don't be trusting the faith of your Sunday school teacher. It will not save you. You know what saves you? It's your faith in Jesus Christ that saves. It's you. It's this man himself. He said, behold, God, he's my salvation. I will trust. I will trust him. If you're ever going to be saved, you must come repenting from your sin to Jesus Christ, and I will trust him. I will trust him to be my Savior. And he's going to trust Christ only. There's no mention of any other person or any other thing in the text. It's between him or God. Of course, this is a tremendous truth that was rediscovered at the Reformation. Christ alone, saved by faith alone in Jesus Christ. See, it is not that he said, I will trust 50%, and I'll work the other 50%, or then I'll get salvation. Notice, he did not say here, I will trust 99% and I'll work just a 1%. No. Dear friends, he says, I will trust. And that was it. That's it. I'm going to trust Christ and Christ alone to take away my sin and to save my soul and to give me eternal life. Behold, God is my salvation. I'm trusting Christ. And I'm trusting him only. And if nothing else. If nothing else. I was speaking to somebody the other day about salvation. And they said to me, you know, if this fails, I'm lost. Because they're dependent upon Christ. But it won't fail, friends. We've got to trust him. And the Bible says, by grace you save through faith and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, that any man should boast. And maybe there's some here tonight in the meeting and you says, I will trust, but you're not trusting Christ only. And that's the difference between the Reformed faith and the true faith of the Bible here that we preach, of course, than other faiths of other cults and other churches. They said, no, you had to put both together. There's faith, of course, and then it's all your works. Well, how many works have you got to be saved? If that's the case. And remember, Jesus Christ said, he that believeth in me hath everlasting life. There's no mention of your works. Trusting, believing in Jesus Christ is what saves you. And here the prophet says, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust. I'm going to trust him only. And dear friends, nothing in my hands I bring, but simply to the cross I cling. That's it. Remember the old man there in the temple, him and the two men praying, and he just bowed his head and he says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's all he said. He had nothing. He was lost. He was in his sin, and he had a heavy heart, and he cried to God with all his heart, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. The Bible says he went down to his house justified, saved. Looking to Jesus Christ only, trusting Jesus Christ only saved them. I want to say to you, that's the gospel of the Bible. Remember the Philippian jailer came in to Paul and Silas in the darkness of his night and troubled soul. And he says, what must I do to be saved? What did they tell him? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Trust him. Only trust him. And this I want to say to you, friend, must be the belief that you have in your heart to be saved. Of course, you repent from your sin and trust Christ. You can have it both ways. Repent and believe the gospel and trust Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. This is the belief. There's no other way. Listen to the words here of the prophet. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust. Well, have you trusted him? Have you trusted him completely? Have you trusted him personally? Have you trusted him only? Jesus Christ, I'm trusting him to be my Savior. Friends, when you do that, you have salvation. This is the belief for salvation. It's not works. It's not your money on the plate. It's not your attendance in any church, friends. No. I will trust Christ. I need one who can save me, who can cleanse me, who can take away my sin and take me to heaven. Jesus Christ is that one. I will trust him. It's all I have. It's all I have. That man said to me, if Christ fails, then I'm lost. But he won't fail us. He won't fail us. Behold, God is my salvation. I'm going to trust him. He will not fail. He will save us and take us home to heaven. I want to speak about the blessings of salvation. There's just a number here in our text. Of course, there was a peace. He said, look at the text. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. You see, dear friends, if your heart's full of fear, you have no peace. Cannot rest, cannot sleep. Fear takes away a man's peace. But when you have salvation, I want to tell you, you get peace with God that passes all understanding. And the fear of death is gone. He destroys those through the fear of death where all their lifetime subject to bondage. He gives us peace when I trust him. There's people here tonight, you never had peace in your life at all until you came to Christ. A bit like Legion, that man who was held by the devil, living in the graveyard. People were afraid to pass by him. He had no rest within his soul until he came to Jesus Christ. And friends, when he trusted him, he had peace. And you'll never have peace until you come to Jesus Christ. Peace that you're saved. How many people are concerned about their soul because the Bible talks about hell while it talks about heaven. And hell is a real place. It's a place where God will judge those who die in their sins, how God will condemn them forever for their sins. Think of Matthew 25, the words of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus. He says, then shall he say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. I want to warn you tonight, hell's a real place. It's everlasting fire. In verse 46 of that chapter, it says, it's everlasting punishment. I tell you, the prophet's fear of hell was gone because he had trusted Christ. The Lord had bore his hell upon the cross. I will trust. I'm not going to be afraid. Maybe there's some tonight in this meeting, and you say, I know, I'm concerned about my soul. I'm concerned about my sin. I know if I die as I am, I'm lost. And I'm lost for all eternity. Well, do you want peace tonight? Do you want peace with God? Do you want peace with your soul? Do you want peace to know tonight that if you die, you'll never be in hell? I will trust this God. This is a blessing we have. The blessing of salvation and the blessings of it, eternal life, forgiveness of sins. All of these things are found in this salvation. There are many blessings. The blessings of power. It says here, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength. He was strong. He gave him power. Power to set him free from sin. Power to overcome the devil and temptation. Power to live the godly life. I'm going to trust this God. The Lord Jehovah, he's my everlasting strength. He's going to give me strength to live. I meet some people and they tell me, I would get saved, but I couldn't live the life. I couldn't keep it. Dear friends, you trust God. You trust the Lord with all your heart. And the Lord Jehovah, he'll be my strength. He will save me. He will hold me. He will keep me. He'll be my strength. You trust him. It's a real blessing to know this power and peace and pardon that's in your life, friends. But there's something else too. There was joy. The Lord Jehovah is my strength. Listen, and my song. I'm going to sing of him. I'm going to sing about him. In verse 3, he says, therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in the verse 5, sing on to the Lord. I tell you, friends, there's joy in God's salvation. I'm going to sing. He's become my song. I'm going to sing of him. Oh, what a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. He's going to sing. Think of that hymn that says, I will sing of my Redeemer and his wondrous love to me. I'm going to sing of him. He put a new song in my mouth. That's what David said. There's joy in God's salvation. He says here, the Lord become my strength and my song. He also become my salvation. He gives us joy. Think of the words in Isaiah 61, verse 10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. It says I'm going to rejoice in him. And my soul is going to be joyful. Some people say, if I get saved, it'll spoil my life. It's going to make my life miserable. I had to leave the world. I had to leave some pubs and clubs. I had to leave my friends. I had to leave my sins. You will if you want to be saved. But it'll not make you miserable. It'll make you joyful. When you come to Jesus Christ and he takes away your sin, God will become your song. A new song. A better song. A joyful song. It's sin that makes you miserable. And will take you to an eternity in hell. But Christ saves. He gives eternal life. And he gives us peace and pardon and power and joy and everlasting life and a home in heaven. Great blessings. Not a bit of wonder then the prophet said, behold, look at this. God is my salvation. What blessings. They're all there for you tonight. On, see a person in this meeting. You can be forgiven tonight. You can be saved tonight. You can be changed by the power of the gospel tonight. You can know Christ's presence within you tonight. You can know that he's your Savior tonight in this meeting. You can know you have everlasting life and you'll never perish by coming to Jesus Christ and trusting him. Would you come and trust him? Would you trust him with all your heart tonight? Repent and believe the gospel. And then you'll be able to say, behold, God is my salvation. That's a wonderful thing to be able to say, isn't it? There are things we're not really sure of in life, but I tell you this, it's wonderful to know with all your heart that you're saved. And on my way to heaven, my sins are forgiven. I have everlasting life, and I can say tonight, behold God, he's my salvation. He's my strength. He's my song. He's my everything. Can you say that tonight in the meeting? If not, turn to him. If I can help you, come and speak to us. Don't go home without Christ if he's spoken to your heart. Maybe you've been thinking about these things. Maybe God has spoken to you tonight. Come to Christ. Come the way you are, and he will save you and give you everlasting life. May God write his word upon our hearts tonight. Let's just close our meeting tonight in a word of prayer. God's people are praying that the Lord has spoken tonight. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the meeting. And we have sought to tell about thee, Lord, about thy great salvation. And I pray in the voice of man is silent, I will speak on. And maybe there's some here tonight has been called and touched by thee. And they want this great salvation. May they come where they are, sitting in their seat. Lord, give them grace to turn to Christ and to look to thee and be saved. And for those who maybe need counsel, that they'll speak to us, Lord. Let them not go home without Christ. We leave it all with thee. We pray you bless each one of us. We're glad for those of us who are saved tonight who can say, behold, God is my salvation. What a blessing that is to be able to say these things, Lord. We are marching to Zion, a beautiful city of God. Now bless us abundantly. Take us to our homes in safety, I pray. In Jesus' wonderful and great name. Amen.